And I let the right person read it. He said, man, go and get this typed up and run me off a copy. That was the first living letter. So I did so. I went to Office Max or Office Depot, I think. Anyway, in Crestwood, they made 100 copies. That week, my uncle died. And I let my cousin read one. I gave Dennis one. Dennis Morgan, I gave him one. See, he inspired me to get it typed up and take it to the, get copies made. So I gave my cousin one. I gave Wayne Griffith one. And he read. He said, man, this will bless the family. Give everybody a copy. So I passed them out. And then the Lord gave me another word. And see, faithfulness is how this works. When you act on what God give you to do, he's going to give you more and open doors. And I wrote, it got to a point, I wrote a living letter every day. And every time I went to church, they'd be saying, what you got? Because I used to pass them out. And he gave me all kind of words. And they were straight from the prayer room. I mean, the way God talked to me in the prayer, it's not like modern day preaching. Not that modern day preaching is bad, but it was more direct. It was more like what Jesus would have said if he was here in the flesh. Some of them I didn't even want to pass out. So one of them I held for a long time. I said, Lord, I don't know if I should do that one. It was called God's Stumping Ground. I said, I was angry when I wrote that. And I may not have been in the right frame of mind. He said, I was angry when you wrote that. Then I went on and published it. I passed it out to people. Because sometimes the Holy Spirit, the mood of the Holy Spirit, he can be angry, he can be jealous and against what we do. But it's still the Holy Ghost and it's still worth writing about. Now, God loves us. And as we go forward in him, you're going to learn things. And it's going to be more light. But it's going to be unique. Your ministry, if it's not unique, then, I rarely see God call people to do what others do. People just do what others do on their own. Oh, I'm out of time. But the Lord is not. He loves us so much. And there's so much that he can do in us and through us if we permit him. You have to involve him. Involving God is not hard. It's just a choice. You're going to be introduced to something greater. Some people are afraid to be put on the spot, but I'm going to tell you something. Every person I minister to, every assignment God gives me, there's so much joy in it. And I was able to meet with guys that were in the band we had years ago, and it was a blessing yesterday. I was able to teach Sunday school yesterday. I enjoyed every minute. I wanted to keep doing it. I didn't want to stop. I heard good preaching. I didn't want to stop listening to to my pastor yesterday. But you know, we do things in a decent and order manner. And I love the Word of God. I love everything. I love what I'm doing right now. I'm not in a hurry to stop. See, the files only hold 30 minutes, and I don't have, I try to put everything, get to the point, because I have so many files on the web page. So now I'm doing a part two. I'm just going to go another 10 or 15, however the Lord lead me. I want to say what people need. The difference between a great work of God and no work of God is a lack of understanding. When people are called to the ministry, they can interpret it wrong. God is calling me out of my comfort zone. I'm going to have to go live in the woods somewhere. God loves you. He is, if he happens to call you to do something drastic, you're going to enjoy it. Whatever you're doing for Christ, you will enjoy it. I have not ever had a complaint about what God had me doing that I remember. I couldn't wait to do it. The only problem I had was when people didn't seem to hear what, you know, I knew the biggest thing that I hated about my ministry is when the Lord showed me what would happen if pastors followed, specific pastors. Sometimes I saw visions. Sometimes it was a word picture. God would give me a description of what would happen if they follow him, and a description of what would happen if they don't. And I was longing for them to follow God. And they did. They did better than they were doing, but they were trying to follow God on their terms, according to their specifications. And they didn't follow God on his specifications. And the Lord gave me revelation to give them, but I couldn't. I was restricted. I couldn't give it to them unless they asked for it. So I tried to get them to talk, hoping that they would. It's kind of like trying to get a person to get saved. I tried to get them to talk so I could legally tell them what God would give them. But they shunned me. They all did. Maybe not all, but the ones that he gave me visions about, they did something totally else. And they didn't ask, and I couldn't tell them what God would have given. Because I have to obey. You have to obey protocol because it's important. If God tells you to do something, it's a strong reason why he's doing it that way. That were words he gave me to give people. He said, don't give it to them unless they ask. And I was praying that they would ask. He didn't tell me to pray that they would ask. He said, don't give it to them unless they ask. And they did not, so I couldn't. And then I knew that whatever the other thing was going to happen that I didn't want, I had to know about it. I didn't like that. So, but every word, the word, I had joy when I obeyed him. And I wanted to. But when I saw, I had to see this. It was just as important for me to see this than to see what would happen if they obeyed God to God's specifications. I wanted to see the best. I didn't want to see the worst, but I needed to see the worst. And I needed to understand. And I said, well, maybe the people would have followed God if the pastor would have. And God put me in another situation. He helped me. I was around people for years, the same people for about 5 years, teaching Sunday school. And people did what they would do. All of them could have latched on and received the message of following God. But if the pastor don't, they will not. I needed to see that. So now, you got people out there. They've been to church. They've been there, done that. Not that church is bad, but Jesus said, if you don't build with me, you scatter. So a lot of people have not been building with God, so they happen to scatter. But the pastors that's building with God, they don't scatter. They collect. See, the opposite is true for them. Men like Perry Stone, they keep doing what God say do. They don't scatter, they collect. And a lot of people, men like Rob Parsley, they say, well, how's your ministry work? He said, I don't know. You just chase God and it happens. Yeah, die. That's what I'm saying. And he's right. He don't even understand the God taught me the dynamics. God didn't teach him the dynamics. You know, he taught me the dynamics, but he chased God and it works. Everybody that chase God, if you build with God, you collect. If you don't believe, you draw people to you. But if you don't build with him, you scatter. And all these other men of God, they scattered the sheep. People that trusted them, they scattered all of them. And they caused people to scatter. The people that stuck with them, they learn to teach people to scatter. We bear fruit after our type. But when we get, every time you follow God, you become an extension of who he is. and you're ever learning and you're ever growing from glory to glory. A friend of mine recently said, your ministry has changed. You know, he said, you're different. It's for the better. You change. Well, we grow from glory to glory. That's how it is. That's how it's supposed to be. Don't be afraid of the unknown, because God is going to go with you into the unknown. You are not going to go alone. Whatever he tells you to do, that's where you jump. Follow the peace. That's where you're going to have peace. So you're good. And you're going to get to know God on a greater scale. I don't cringe at the thought of God telling me to do something. I embrace it. I look forward to it. I'm glad when God gives me something to do. I can't wait to see what the next thing is. So I don't have the problems that others have. I enjoy life. I enjoy what God is doing through me. And I want to see more of it. And I want the blessings of God to be on his people. I want you to know what he's capable of. And you can't know it unless you involve it. You know, I talked yesterday about Jephthah. Jephthah, I'll close with this. It's worth repeating again, because a lot of people don't know small things that cause huge problems, just like Jephthah. And let's see here. Judges 11. For years, I did not like to read Judges 11, because I wondered why God didn't intervene. And it was because Jephthah didn't ask him to. Now, Jephthah he became a judge. And his brothers kicked him out, but in trouble, they wanted him to come and fight. I start at verse 9. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, if ye bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, the Lord be witness between us, if we do not so according to your words. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. And Jephthah sent messengers unto the king of the children of Ammon, saying, what hast thou to do with me, that thou art come against me to fight in my land? And the king of the children of Ammon answered unto the messengers of Jephthah, because Israel took away my land when they came up out of Egypt, from Arnon even to Jabbok and unto Jordan. Now therefore restore those lands again peaceably. And Jephthah sent messengers again unto the king of the children of Ammon, and said to him, thus saith Jephthah, Israel took not away the land of Moab or the land of the children of Ammon, but when Israel came up from Egypt and walked through the wilderness unto the Red Sea and came to Kadesh, then Israel sent messengers unto the king of Edom, saying, let me, I pray thee, pass through thy land. But the king of Edom would not hearken thereto. And in like manner, they sent unto the king of Moab, but he would not consent. And Israel abode in Kadesh. Then they went along through the wilderness and compassed the land of Edom and the land of Moab, and came by the east side of the land of Moab, and pitched on the other side of Arnon, but came not within the border of Moab, for Arnon was the border of Moab. And Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites, king of Heshbon. And Israel said unto him, let us pass, we pray thee, through thy land unto my place. But Sihon trusted not Israel to pass through his coast. But Sihon gathered all his people together and pitched in Jahaz and fought against Israel. And the Lord God of Israel delivered Sihon and all his people into the hand of Israel. And they smote them, so Israel possessed all the land of the Amorites in the inhabitants of the country. And they possessed all the coast of the Amorites, from Arnon even unto Jabbok, and from the wilderness even unto Jordan. So now the Lord God of Israel has dispossessed the Amorites from before his people Israel. And shouldest thou possess it? Wilt thou possess that which Chemosh thy God giveth thee to possess? So whomsoever the Lord our God shall drive out from before us, them will we possess. And now, art thou anything better than Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he ever strive against Israel, or did he ever fight against them? While Israel dwelt in Heshbon and her towns, and Aroer and her towns, and in the cities that be along the coast of Arnon, 300 years, why therefore did ye not recover them within that time? Wherefore have I not sinned against thee? But thou doest me wrong to war against me. The Lord the judge be judge. This day between the children of Israel and the children of Ammon. Howbeit the king of the children of Ammon hearkened not unto the words of Jephthah, which he sent him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah and Gilead. And from Mizpah of Gilead he passed over unto the children of Ammon. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord, and said, If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it should be that whatsoever cometh forth out of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. And he smote from Aurora even till thou come to Minnith, even 20 cities, and unto the plain of the vineyards, with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. And Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house. I hated this part when I read it first time and after that. And Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house. And behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances, and she was his only child. Beside her, he had neither son nor daughter. His only child. And it came to pass when he saw her that he tore his clothes, he rent his clothes, and said, Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me. For I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. Now this was his mindset. He felt he could not go back. He made a vow to the Lord. He cannot go back. Now watch this. Then she said unto him, My father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth. For as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon, and she's a warrior. She had the heart of a warrior. And she said unto her father, Let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down upon the mountains and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows. And he said, go. And he sent her away for 2 months, and she went with her companions and bewailed her virginity upon the mountains. And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow, which he had vowed. And she knew no man. And it was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah the Gileadite 4 days in a year. Now, you see what happened. He finished his vow. He kept his vow. Is that something that God would want? All right. Because we have more information, we understand no. But the mind of Jephthah in his culture, this is what he did was a combination of the culture of the people around him and Jewish culture, including old wives' tales and things like that. All he had to do is involve God. If he had appealed to God, Lord, is there a way that I cannot burn my daughter? I see, and he didn't give God a chance. He didn't involve him in his choice. He did what he, in his mind, he even said it. You have to go by what they said. He said he couldn't go back in verse 35. I've opened my mouth to the Lord, and I cannot go back. That was his concept. That in his mind, that was no other choice. But he didn't even ask. Now, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus appealed to the Lord. Father, is there a way? Can this cup be taken from me? But not my will, your will be done. He stayed submitted to the perfect will of God. And he didn't ask for the permissive will. He wanted to, because he knew this was going to be very harsh. Nevertheless, not my will, thy will be done. See, God is wise. He knows what to do. He didn't give God a chance. He didn't even ask. He just proceeded. And he did what he said he would do. Because every year the girls went up and lament. They don't do that for people that would have survived. He did the vow. He offered it to the Lord as a burnt offering. Period. Unnecessary so. Look at what the Lord gave Solomon. He said, my son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thine hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. When thou art come into the hand of thy friend, go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. This came from the heart of God. Solomon gave it to us because God gave him the wisdom. All he had to do was appeal to God, and God would have delivered his daughter. Because God did not want his daughter offered as a burnt offering. He would have rather had her, just like Samuel's mother gave her son, to God. The Lord would have given him wisdom that would have settled him. God never told us in the law to burn our children. But they are around people that did stuff like that. That's why they were in such gross turmoil. You have to watch culture. Don't ever guide, run your life by culture. Same thing happened with Lot's daughters. They thought there was no more men on earth. They must not have heard when Lot pleaded for Zoar. They were in the caves, but they thought all the men in the world were dead, so they would have no chance to have children. So they got their father drunk and had children with him. They never thought, or they didn't ask, they didn't involve God. They just did something. I'm saying these things because that's what the church does. That's what they're guilty of. Because that's the culture of today. People talk, they arrange the word to make it fit what people want. And they govern their, you know, they see other ministers do this and they try not to get out of the, you know, they feel like if I do something too dramatic or too different, people won't understand it and leave. The tares will definitely leave. The wicked will always, they're guaranteed to do wicked. But there are people that will follow God, but they need leadership. And this is where you come in. Yes, that's where you come in. When you dedicate your life to obeying God and following Him, then He's going to show you things that people may not know. And you're going to show people greater light. Jesus said, let your light shine. The light is there through the new birth. And also, the light is also the wisdom, the revelation He's going to give you. It's going to outshine the darkness that people have been doing. And don't trust other people to do your job. Make it happen. Other people don't have to get your crown. No, it's not about, you know, crowns to us. We do this for life. We do this because we love life. We love people. See, in heaven, when you get there, God, you're going to be rewarded for what you did here. And you're going to desire those rewards just like you would desire a new car right now. But see, in our mind today, we process the future far away, but it's really not that far away. What you do now counts. If you involve God, He will use you. He'll use the part of your life that He needs to help others. You don't have to be totally perfect first. You just have to be obedient today. If you continually obey God, He will continually move in your life and prepare you for what He needs. And then you'll just have to have enough courage to do it. All these things can be attained by speaking the word over your life, blessing your life, speaking His word over your life in faith, filling your heart with the word of God, being adjustable to the Holy Spirit, being receptive to the Holy Spirit. And your relationship with God will become greater. You got to become as healthy as you can. You got to become as healthy as you need to be, not only physically, but spiritually and mentally. And then you can serve God. See, if Lot's daughters would have involved God, he could have told them, well, I have somebody for you. You know, he could have sent an angel to tell them what they needed to know. And things would have been different. But they had children anyway with their father. Then, and Jephthah's daughter could have lived. If he had appealed to God, he could have received greater information, just like I just read. We don't have to keep making the same mistakes that others made. And we don't have to keep making the same mistakes that people are used to making. When things are not like they should be, ask God why. And He can show you, like He did me. As you obey Him, He'll make the difference. Now, remember these things. Enjoy them. Your joy is going to go up. And your peace, you're going to walk in peace. And you're going to follow God. You're going to love it. And you're going to appreciate the wisdom of God on you in your life. Now, these broadcasts are here to help people grow stronger so that they can be fortified into the will of God. You know, revelation has to be received and locked down. Get a hold of it and use it as a way of life. Don't just say use it to teach others and forget about it. No, use it in your life, all of it. And God, that's the only way to keep it. And practice it by faith. Practice revelation by faith. And you're going to see God move in your life and throughout your life. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to move mightily in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus Christ is our Lord. Stay in victory. Live in victory.